Thanks, everybody. It seems as though we touched a nerve when talking about spiders in the homestead.
Yeah, yeah. I bet a lot of people are in my camp.
Lot? Well, not really.
Really?
But let's read the tale of the tape for everybody who got in touch. Karen, bugs or spiders in my house are allowed. I usually put them outside if they're bigger. Deborah, my niece and I see a spider. We yell, David! Come get a bug.
Oh, I thought they named it David.
Anita, I'm like you, Brad, that I don't mind spiders in the garage. I don't particularly care for them in the house, but it depends where they are. My husband bought a gentle spider vacuum that can suck them up, move them outside.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're here for a reason, she says. Black widows, though, different story. And then people perhaps like yourself. Mary, spiders in the house? Nope. Burn the house down. The exact same as Wayne.
Uh-huh.
Best way to get rid of spiders, set the house on fire and walk away.
Oh, come on.
Plenty of places to rent and buy, he says. So,
I mean, if it's infestation. But that's the thing.
Well,
trying to figure out if it's a dangerous spider or not, you got to get close enough to it.
There's
real. No thanks.
I mean, come on. The brown recluse and the black widow. Those are the only two. Everything else just.
Really? Those are the only two?
Well, you know. Yeah, anyway, thanks for getting in touch, is what I'm trying to say for everybody who did so. The number is 888-922-7234. 888-9-AB-RADIO is the phone number. Here's some news.
The Roundup with Ashley Page.
Well, I am in good company when I can't figure out some math on some of these games that we do. Because guess what? Our brains are not well equipped to grasp advanced mathematics. This is according to a Stanford University mathematician. Unlike what researchers call, quote, natural math, like counting and algebra and simple arithmetic.
Mm.
Although algebra? Come on. Formal mathematics, such as adding fractions and calculus, in our brains is counter to common sense. So,
okay.
There you go.
Okay.
That's what I think. Next time you do any kind of math question,
but
I'm going to
you
say,
certainly hey. Can be taught. I mean, it's not impossible is what they're
but
not
for most
saying.
People, our brains, you have to, nah, it's not. Like my girlfriend, Dini, has her master's in math. She's
yeah.
one of the few well, that I know that can just go, oh, yeah, I love it. All
right.
day long, I want to play with math.
I understand it a lot more now than I ever used to. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and it's interesting because sometimes as your brain evolves, you'll start to understand it. But
yeah.
Some of it, mm-mm. In fact, okay. a lot of it.
Okay.
So in 1979, a guy named Ridley Scott made a movie.
Alien.
That made space
Alien!
Looked terrifying.
Oh,
it changed.
A great
yes,
movie.
Alien. Well, guess what?
Great movie.
Even though it's been 45 years since it came out, it's coming back to select theaters April 26th.
That first, you just in cinematic filmmaking alone,
that's
it is
what
worth
they said.
Seeing.
It changed.
It really did.
A whole, yes.
It really did.
And they said, this is cool because the showing is also going to begin with a conversation between Ridley Scott and Fede Alvarez, who is directing the upcoming Alien Romulus, which comes to theater in August.
Wow.
So if you want to see this re-release in the theaters, and you probably do, it's this Friday.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
This Friday for that.
Okay.
And then the Romulus comes out in August.
Yeah, yeah.
That's your news roundup.
Ashley and Brad.
Welcome in, everybody. Here it is, the 24th day of April for 2024. 424-24.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
It's day 115 of the year, 251 days left. Who's got birthdays? Right at the very top, well, this is just one of her many lifetimes. Shirley MacLaine is now turning 90 in this lifetime.
Wow, happy birthday, Shirley MacLaine.
Babs, Barbara Streisand, is 82 years old. Is it Streisand or Streisand?
I remember her. Was it a Barbara Walters interview where she actually gave a lesson on how to say her last name properly?
Okay. Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty, 78. Cedric the Entertainer, 60. Jomon Hounsou is 60.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
Is 42 years old, Kelly Clarkson.
I wonder if he buys her flowers every year.
He
really he should.
Didn't he introduce her on her first show? I think he did.
I don't remember.
Or at least one of her shows.
Yeah.
He definitely made. Joe Keery from Stranger Things, 32, and Jack Quaid is 32. It happened on this date in history in 1704. In Boston, Massachusetts, the first regular newspaper was published. In 1800, the U.S. Library of Congress was established when President John Adams signed legislation to appropriate $5,000 to purchase such books as may be necessary for the use of Congress.
Wow.
And at one point they even said, you know what, let's include every tweet that's ever been sent.
They did that for a few years and then went, there's no way.
This is stupid. Yeah. What are we doing this for? In 1969, it had to be clarified. Paul McCartney announced that there was no truth to the fact that he was dead. He, in fact, is still living.
He's still, yes, absolutely.
In 1990, the Space Shuttle Discovery blasted off carrying the Hubble Space Telescope, which at the time was revolutionary. And then James Webb Telescope says, hold my beverage.
Right.
In 2005, Snuppy was the world's first clone dog in South Korea. And in 2018, are you ready for this?
Yeah, I think so. I hope so.
2018, 6 years ago, streaming music services overtook worldwide sales of CD and vinyl for the first time.
And now look.
And now a whole generation goes, what's CD and vinyl?
Yeah.
Exactly.
What's a tape? What's an A-track? What's a cassette?
Kids, come see my garage. Right. I've got it all for you.
You want to know why Uncle Brad can't park in his garage?
Come visit. It's a lending library. Special events for today, Administrative Professionals Day, Armenian Genocide Remembrance Day, Denim Day, Stop Food Waste Day, Ashley, is today. International Guide Dog Day, International Noise Awareness Day, Pigs in a Blanket Day, New Kids on the Block Day, World Day for Laboratory Animals. It's a good thing we rescued Mr. Jingles from that laboratory.
Right?
He's doing a world of good here. And World Meningitis Day. If you have a birthday and a special event, like some listeners told us they do, tell us. 888-922-7234.
Ashley and Brad.
It's Ashley and Brad on the radio. And between the two of us, one of us has carried on a full conversation with a mannequin.
It was not a full.
In a store.
I asked a question. It was not.
Now, of the two of us, another saw a mannequin at a library dressed in a full Marine's uniform, and one of us queried, I wonder how he can stand at attention for so long. So, between the two of us, who might you think that would have been?
Well, I can neither confirm nor deny that that might have been me.
Okay.
But
you didn't, that didn't keep you from going back to that store.
No, absolutely not.
To carry
not.
On that conversation with mannequin.
If it was on video and it went viral, I might be embarrassed to go back in there. But luckily, that has not ever happened.
Okay.
Have you never been embarrassed? Like something's happened.
At a business?
Yeah. So like on one of my Facebook groups that I'm in, one of the moms was like, I'm really embarrassed that this happened, but I have been seeing this chiropractor for, you know, several years, and the last appointment I went in, he pushed on my back really hard, and, you know, it caused
some flatus escaped.
And she's like, I will never go back. I'm so embarrassed. I will never go back. I remember being in a gym.
Oh, but come on. It's not the first time a chiropractor has had that happen.
I'm sure it happens probably a lot more than you think.
Yeah. Sure.
I remember being at the gym, and this guy was trying to be, like, real, like, impressive, and he had that thing where you lay on your back and you push the weights with your legs.
Oh.
Well, he put a lot of weights on there trying to be.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And the worst happened?
The worst happened.
Ooh, that.
So, I mean, that was years ago. But has there ever been a situation, do you know anybody who's been in that thing? You're like, oh no.
Specifically. Gone to a restaurant and put some weights on? No. Not like that. Not enough to keep me from going back. No.
Well, that wouldn't keep you from going back.
Yeah, exactly.
But how about you guys? Have you ever been in a situation where you're like, man, I can never go back here now?
Okay, but where else did you do this where you were like, I can't show my face?
Not I. I'm just saying. I'm asking if anybody else has done that.
Just asking for a friend. I got it. Okay.
For a friend.
Ashley and Brad.
Who doesn't like to learn a new word or two here on the Ashley and Brad Show? That's what we're doing each and every day at this appointed time. If you've missed any of the words, they are collected on our website, which is Ashley Brad Radio. You'll see the link for the words of the day at the very top. But today's word is an adjective. It is French in origin from the late 18th century.
Ooh la la.
Today's word is numismatic. Numismatic.
What?
Numismatic.
Numismatic.
That's what I said.
Can Jerry Seinfeld say it to me, though?
Why does Jerry Seinfeld need to say it?
Numismatic.
What's the deal with numismatic? Numismatic. That's your word.
Exactly.
Go ahead and
say it. Numismatic. Okay. So it's French in origin. Would it be a PN? That's Latin.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking like pneumonia. Like
yeah.
Like a.
No,
like,
I hear you.
So I'm going to try that.
Okay.
PNEUMISMATIC.
Oh, it is so close.
No, it probably
not. If you only took out the P and the E, you'd be on to something.
Really?
NUMISMATIC. Numismatic.
Numismatic.
Aww. Yeah.
That's French?
Yeah. It just means relating to or consisting of coins, paper currency, and metals.
Huh.
Now, my...
So people at the Mint know a lot of...
My uncle, being a world-class philatelist,
yes,
is also...
stamp collector.
Into numismatism.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So he is somewhat of a coin collector as
okay.
well.
Numismatism. That sounds yeah. like... a magic act to
the
me.
The numismatic exhibit featured coins from around the world.
Oh, like number. Oh, I wonder. Oh.
Numismatic has French roots in French, Latin, and Greek. The French word numismatique developed via Latin from the word nomisma, which in turn developed from the words nomismat, current coin. So,
huh.
Very confusing.
That is really confusing.
All that to say, it has to deal with coins, okay?
Ashley and Brad.
Thank you, Pat, for getting in touch with our show. I saw that she was calling, and she knows exactly when to call, that we always seem to be in some lull that we're able to pick up the phone. But
I know.
This time, not so much. But
she's like, the song just ended. I'm going to call right now.
Yeah, but she called to let us know of her sleepwear a little bit more, and also ask this question.
Have you ever tried the cashew milk ice cream called salted caramel? It is the best. Ever.
Yeah, I believe I have.
Yeah, is that the Halo one? Oh, that
I don't know, but it's pretty tasty. But that's the point of the phone line. You can call and have a little conversation with us and ask what we like, and we ask what you like, and we just all get along. The number is 888-922-7234 to do so. It's a text and a voicemail. It does both. Or the email, which is ab@ashleybradradio.com. Here's news.
The Roundup with Ashley Page.
Ah, it's the So Delicious. I knew I had that in my freezer. Yep, that's the same one I got.
Okay, yeah.
So summer means rising temperatures, and it can mean extreme heat. The National Weather Service and the CDC are introducing a new color-coded heat warning system that will simplify and highlight potential health risks associated with high-temperature days. The new system categorizes heat risks into 5 levels, ranging from pale green with little to no risk to magenta for the most dangerous. For those who, you know, especially can't be out for a long period of time in the sun, heat stroke, things like that.
Uh-huh.
So the soda wars, what? People get hot in the summer.
It's called summertime.
You're the only one.
Every year we do this. You're like, it gets so hot in summer. It's like, and that's why they call it summertime.
You have no temperature regulator in your body. Obviously, a lot of people have it if they're inventing an entire system for it.
I don't think there needs to be an invention for heat because we've realized for millennia now it gets hot in the summer.
It's just letting certain people know. There's a lot of people that can't be in that kind of heat.
All right.
That's
and
dangerous.
And they probably aren't.
Well, apparently they are. Soda wars are heating up.
Okay.
Pepsi has dropped 2 new flavors, Lime Pepsi and Peach Pepsi. Not available in the diet versions, just in regular.
As in Pepsi with a lime flavor and a peach flavor?
Uh-huh. Well, not lime. I mean, there's one that's lime and one that's peach.
No, I know, but still, Pepsi with a peach flavor
gonna
to it.
It's going to have a, yeah. Huh. Coca-Cola said, hold on, though.
Okay.
We're also getting in this game. But they're going to use their Sprite, and it's called Sprite Chill, which is cherry lime taste. That one will be available in both regular and
all
diet.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Well, American Idol has revealed that Jon Bon Jovi is going to be the guest mentor for the top 3 contestants on the season 22 finale.
Hmm.
The iconic singer will lend his expertise and guidance to the finalists as they battle it out for the coveted title on May 19th. And that's your news roundup.
Ashley and Brad.
Game time on Ashley and Brad Show. It's time to break out with this new game. I got a whole bunch of new games here that we can try out. This one is the old 1 Minute Mystery. It's a version of a Mind Trap.
Okay.
But,
1 Minute Mystery. Does that mean I got 1 minute to solve it?
I don't know. It means that they're short in nature.
Okay.
They don't tend to be long, elaborate. And all that difficult, as it turns out, judging from the few that we've done so far. But anyway, here is the case.
Okay.
A man speeds off in his car.
Mm-hmm.
After driving for a brief period, He suddenly steers the car off a high cliff, destroying it.
Oh!
There are numerous witnesses to this dangerous act, but no one is upset by it. Why did the man crash the car, and who is he?
He drove it off a cliff?
Yes. The clues? The man is not unhappy or suicidal. The man has done similar things before.
Oh, it's Evel Knievel.
A little more specific might help us.
What kind of Mr. Evel Knievel? A daredevil? He's a daredevil. He's a stunt driver.
That's exactly it. He's a stuntman, you see, for a movie. Let's try another one. Like I said, they don't tend to be the most difficult. But a man from Chicago deliberately put on shorts and a tank top.
Mm-hmm.
He then goes outside in the middle of winter and walks along a lake. The wind is blowing and it's 20 degrees outside. But the man is delighted that he's not bundled up for the winter like the rest of the residents of Chicago. The mystery, why can the man tolerate the weather and what is he doing?
Because he doesn't have any heat sensors in his body like you don't. A man goes out in the middle of winter.
In the similar vein of Mind Trap, you sometimes have to think outside the box. Always.
Okay. So it's not obvious.
A man from Chicago deliberately puts on shorts and a tank top, goes outside in the middle of winter, walks along a lake.
Well, because maybe he's not in Chicago at that time, just because he's from there.
Okay. Yes.
He went to Florida to visit some relatives.
Oh, you're so close. But I'm going to give you a
hafting. All right.
It says the man is on vacation in Italy, where the temperature is 20 degrees Celsius.
In Italy. Got it.
So, you see, that's how you solve the Minute Mysteries.
Ashley and Brad.
It's the Ashley and Brad Show, hitting the hard topics of life that no one else can bring you. The other stations are afraid to bring you these hard-hitting topics. But no, not here on the Ashley Brad Show. We don't veer away from hot-button issues and hot-button topics and divisive things. No, no, we dive right into them.
Really?
Isn't that right? Cannonball into them, you might say. This is perhaps one of the hottest buttons we've ever touched. Are there certain sandwiches that need to be on toasted bread versus ones that don't need to be on toasted bread? I can't finish it. Because to me, yes. The answer is an unequivocal yes.
This started an argument with a friend of mine and her boyfriend.
Well, it should, because peanut butter and jelly, never toasted. Now, I know
people. Oh, I disagree.
Oh, see? No, never toasted.
I like a light toast. No. A nice little light toast
but
on that.
Not, no, see? That's okay.
What about an egg salad sandwich?
Always toasted.
See?
Always toasted.
I don't.
Reuben, toasted rye bread.
Well, that you
absolutely
have to.
Well,
you got to
okay,
on that.
Well,
but who's going to eat that on a non-toasted bread?
Well, some people might.
Okay.
But this is the hard button topics that we're talking about right now.
But these are things that can lead to like the weirdest argument. Like I told you, my friend and her boyfriend got in a big argument.
How was it?
So far, they're still not talking. This was just a couple of days ago.
So what was the sandwich in question?
It was peanut butter and jelly.
Okay.
Yes.
See, I'm on team untoasted.
He wanted untoasted. She eats it toasted.
And she's so wrong.
That turned into a big, I could see why. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, there are certain ones.
I mean, choose your battles in marriage, but still.
Maybe that's the hill she's willing to die on.
I guess so. I'm planting my flag and that's it. I don't know, but okay.
You guys, are there ones that you're like, oh yeah, if it's egg salad, it's got to be this. If it's this one, it's got to be that.
Okay.
Pimento cheese, untoasted.
Well, not a pimento cheese. Club sandwich. Club sandwich has to be toasted. So.
Yeah, well, that's got a lot of stuff
on it. BLT.
Don't ask me about a BLT.
BLT.
You? Toasted?
Has to be? Yes. That's what I'm
saying. All right.
Look, I'm answering the question.
Okay.
You brought it up. I'm answering. Yes, there are some sandwiches need to be toasted.
All right.
But what do you think? 888-9-AB-RADIO.
Ashley and Brad.
Thank you, Anita. Just one of the many folks getting in touch with our show at 888-922-7234. We asked about the overrated tourist destinations or
things
like that.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I don't have an overrated site, although I would personally love to get to Mount Rushmore and to get to see that someday.
Right.
To see Gutzon Borglum's work. She does have a comment about the Hollywood Walk of Fame. She was named after Anita Louise, a blonde actress from the 50s.
Okay.
She has a star, so in a way, she feels like it's her star. So the stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, you can get one. I mean, we could technically get one ourselves.
You got to pay some money, and then you got to pay to maintain it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And then somebody has to sponsor you in order to get it to the chamber. And so we could have it done. And those are historical markers, obviously, for those who've been in the entertainment business.
But, like, if you're driving across country for the summertime, and you're like, oh, let's stop here. There's the biggest ball of twine, or whatever it is.
Right.
And you want to take a picture of it.
Yeah.
It's interesting because a lot of the historical markers, apparently, in the United States, because there's almost 200,000 active historical markers that say, this is the home of da-da-da, this is where this was done. Apparently, a whole bunch of them are wrong. Because several states will claim something like two states claim to have Daniel Boone's bones.
Oh.
A couple of states.
Well, they could both be right.
I mean, that's true. Ask Jimmy Hoffa.
Right.
A couple of states claim to have sent the first telegram. And then in California, there was one commemorating a dead mastodon because they've got like the tar pits and stuff.
Yeah.
Upon further analysis, it turned out that it was a dead circus elephant. So,
wow.
So just because you see a historical marker,
Where's Jumbo? I don't know. He's been missing for quite some time. 30 years later. Oh, look at this. We found an old dinosaur bone.
Ashley and Brad.
Thanks, listener Jim. Just one of the folks getting in touch with us about the phones at work. If there's somewhere where you need a security clearance, absolutely. They're not going to let you take your phone.
Yeah, because we talked about some employers are thinking about locking them up all day.
Certain rooms where he works, you have to leave your phone outside. There's also areas where cameras are not allowed, where listener Jim works.
Wow, where does he work?
Well, somewhere with high clearance. But if you work at a donut shop, maybe they have got a rule you can't use your phone. But he says not right to lock up your phone. It's your property. But leave it in your car, maybe. But, it's up to the employer to make those have. Look, where's the employee handbook for this radio station?
I don't know that I've actually ever seen one.
So,
I don't seriously think I have.
Right. So it's never.
Did you sign something?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I didn't sign.
Just showing the microphone and gave, hey, your shift starts next week. I'm like, okay. Nothing else after that, though. So I couldn't begin to tell you.
But look, I got my phone here, so I
guess. I know. But some places a little more stringent than others.
True.
But anyway, you gotta do what the employer says. Is hey, that's how I roll. Other employees may not.
Well, you never know.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks, listener Jim. 888-922-7234 is that phone number. Hey, look, news.
The Roundup with Ashley Page.
Well, apparently our brains were not built for fractions. That's exactly right. Or calculus or lots of other things. Because according to a Stanford University mathematician, our brains are not equipped to grasp those types of advanced mathematics, which is why it's so incredibly hard for a lot of people to learn. There are what they call, quote, natural mathematics, like counting, geometry, some simple arithmetic. Mm-hmm. But what they call formal mathematics, like fractions and calculus, is counterintuitive to our brains. Our brains go, that's not common sense. It shouldn't go like that, because sometimes it's
a little wonky. To not muddy the waters further, to recreate new math, with all of the regrouping things that are being done and taught these days.
My kids were already grown when that happened.
You're like, wait, this is not how we learned math. Now you're adding doing what?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything
common
about
core
that.
Math?
I've heard of it. My kids were already out of school.
Yeah, it's not helping, I'll tell you
so,
that.
So, Family Guy fans, Hulu has announced that it is going to be the exclusive home to not one, but two holiday specials of the beloved Fox cartoon later this year. The news comes as the show celebrates its 25th anniversary since its premiere in 1999. And that's your news roundup.
Ashley and Brad.
Game time on the Ashley and Brad program. You can play along with this. Another one of our newer games that we just got.
Mm-hmm.
The 80s, 90s trivia game, it says.
Okay.
Most excellent, all that in a bag of chips.
Well, this is kind of... Wait, did they steal your totally 80s trivia that you made up yourself? The totally rad?
No, that's just me using every phrase that was ever said in the 80s.
Okay. That's something different.
Awesome, bodacious, radical, tubular.
So this is 80s and 90s?
Yeah. Well, we'll just take turns asking questions. Kathleen Turner was the voice of which character in Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Jessica Rabbit.
Is correct.
Oh, so these are easy peasy, like this one.
Well, they might be.
Who got her first big break as a backup vocalist for Michael Jackson?
Sheryl Crow, I think.
That is correct.
Okay. What 1983 Elton John song featured Stevie Wonder on the harmonica?
Elton John song with Stevie Wonder?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Ebony and Ivory was McCartney.
Paul McCartney. He did the harmonica solo.
I don't know. Benny and the Jets?
No. Come on. You know this song.
Hold on.
Come on.
I guess what? That's why they call it the blues? That was Stevie Wonder?
Yes, that's
Stevie
Wonder.
Well, I was today years old.
How about that?
What company invested $150 million in Apple in 1997?
Is this a noteworthy company that we should all know?
Yeah.
That invested into Apple?
Mm-hmm.
In what year?
1997.
All of them.
No.
By that point, they'd been established, so.
I thought this was a major competitor, but.
IBM? Windows?
Microsoft.
Okay. Flip the card over. There's the 90s. Who played Kevin Costner's love interest in Bull Durham?
She was in Rocky Horror. Yeah. Susan Sarandon.
That's correct. Yep.
All right. From television, what cheer star was nominated for 6 Emmys, but he never won?
Oh, boy. Susan Lucci of the male world. Who would have been an Emmy nominee? Was it from Cheers? Somebody from Cheers?
Well, that was what the question was. What Cheers star was nominated for 6 Emmys?
I should pay more attention to your questions.
Yes.
I don't think it was Ted Danson. Maybe George Wendt?
It is George Wendt.
Okay.
Norm. Norm never won an Emmy.
Norm.
Ashley and Brad.
So here on the Ashley and Brad Show, we are fortunate enough, nay, required almost, to play some games on the radio.
Absolutely.
Invite you in to play along with us.
And who doesn't like to play games?
I know. That's what I'm saying. What other job can you play games and be a part of?
Well, all of them, but you probably get fired.
Right. So we just did trivia. And, yeah, we've played Scattergories on the... We've played Outburst.
Oh,
we've played a few board games on
here.
You
name it.
But there are some board games that rise above the others in some regard. Like... Monopoly used to be the reigning king supreme of our family as kids.
Oh.
All the cousins would get together and play marathon Monopoly sessions.
Marathon.
Now, the thought of it playing on like, I don't have it in me to do anymore.
I saw a picture of somebody who was renovating their home and they pulled up some carpet and painted on the cement floor was...
The board. Wow.
In big, giant, I was like, wow, now that's commitment. But it's interesting because there are some board games that you're like, you play them and you're like, I don't see the big deal in that.
Okay.
And Monopoly, by the way, is number one on the list of the most overhyped board games.
Yeah.
But besides that one, are there others that you're like, I played that, some of these I take extreme exception.
Well, I mean... I liked Clue when I was 10.
That's on the list.
Yeah.
That's number 4. That's not over. I love that game. Creative.
Scrabble is infinitely entertaining to me. I will always play Scrabble.
That's not on this list.
Yeah.
But games like Exploding Kittens, have you played that one before?
No, never.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Catan, now I've heard.
Yeah, with the little pebble thing.
I thought that was something else. I thought Catan was the world of, like, empires things.
That's Risk.
See, I don't even know.
That's Risk.
No, Risk is actually on here, too. That was when the strategy game of taking over countries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I take exception with this. Uno? Come on! It teaches kids strategy.
We still play that a lot in our house.
I love Uno.
It's a good pastime.
That's a good one. Yeah. The Game of Life is on here.
Oh, we used to love playing that. Battleship still...
Battleship was
pretty good.
That's
on. We still play that.
Cards Against Humanity. I love that game.
Yeah,
but it's on here.
It.
Oh, is that brilliant? But Munchkin. I've never even heard of Munchkin.
No, I haven't played that. Taboo used to be a crowd pleaser.
Okay.
With the little buzzer that you could buzz people.
Right.
Oh.
And but this is overhyped games.
I know.
Did you think that one's overhyped?
No.
Or you played it and loved it?
That lived up to the hype in my estimation.
Okay, what about you guys? What are some ones that live up and some that are just like, I can't believe this one?
Yeah, 888-9-AB-RADIO.
Ashley and Brad.
You're listening to Ashley and Brad on the radio, and let us please head out to the ballpark right now. This happens to be from Chavez Ravine with Nancy B on the organ, everybody. Take me out to the ball game. Come on. Take me out with the crowd. Do you, do you not even know the lyrics to the song?
Yeah, of course I do.
Okay. Well, certainly the boys of summer out doing what the boys of summer do. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, like I said, football versus baseball. Francis even called in to say that he is equally enamored of both. But to me, I don't know. Baseball, yes, it is America's pastime, but that's what you're doing. You're passing a lot of time.
Well, I prefer to go in person and watch a baseball game. Football I can watch on TV or go to a game.
Right.
But watching baseball on TV is a little more challenging for me.
It sure is.
I like it. I just don't love it.
Get to see, you know, the where the pitchers land and the strike zone and the ball
and the countdown
path.
Clock.
I mean, that's a little more. But in person,
it's way better. But it's interesting because there was a high school baseball team in Texas just the other day. It was a 4-3 victory, so that was nice that someone finally won after an astonishing 23 innings. They said they believe it's the longest game in the history of Texas high school baseball. But have you ever been? I went to a professional game, and so because of the cost of the tickets and the driving there and the parking and the whole thing, it went 16 innings. We didn't leave till almost 1 o'clock in the morning.
That's pretty long.
And I had to work the next day.
Yeah.
And I couldn't leave because I went with somebody else.
Uh-huh.
And boy, did we get our money's worth. But that was
And you couldn't suggest to them, hey, could we leave?
I kind of said, you know, you guys, I got to work in the. Oh, no, we're staying. And I'm like, oh, great, we're staying. Yay, we're staying.
Was it a nail biter type game or just watching paint dry?
It was because it kept going back and forth and back and forth. Yeah. And it was like a one of these, a 4-3 victory kind of a situation. Yeah. But man, it took a long time.
I mean, you know, I haven't been to tons of baseball games. Yes, I've been, but it's always at the guest of somebody else. And
yeah, that's the thing. I was a guest of somebody, so I couldn't leave.
And usually they get up and was like, okay, all right, seventh inning looks like a blowout. Let's leave.
Really?
That kind of
so
thing.
So you've never been to one that's gone into like a lot of extra innings?
No.
Okay, well. And listen, you've got your son plays.
I know.
Little League, so.
I know.
Would
even,
you,
well,
after
even
seventh
some of those
inning,
games, I'm like, okay, five innings. I think we can call mercy on this.
Ashley and Brad.
Well, it's time for a make good here on the Ashley and Brad because I said that I was going to do something so I've made good on it. I did it.
Okay, what was that?
Well, one of my favorite sound effects on the show is
right?
This one right here. Ric Flair saying woo! Trademark woo!
That's and I made a comment that he should be the voice of a siren if you just patched a whole bunch of them together.
Absolutely,
he sounds like that European woo woo.
He sure does. And I thought, you know what? If I were king, I'd make cars that you could program your own alarm or horn on them.
You and Elon Musk.
Absolutely. So I would make my Ric Flair car alarm sound like this.
Woo woo woo.
That's what it would be. That's Ric Flair woo a bunch of times in a row. And my horn would be
woo.
So that's how I would roll.
And every time you honked at someone, you'd have to pay his estate royalties.
Yeah, you could do Macho Man to get out of the way. Or
well, let me tell you something, brother.
Hulkster as your horn. So
do you want to do that like pedestrians just passing by?
Exactly.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Oh, come on. The fun you could have with programming your own horn
right?
or alarm? Unlimited. Anyway, somebody get on that. Let's get Elon Musk on the phone.
It should be like the iPod shuffle, so every time you beep your horn, you don't know what it's going to be.
I know.
It could just be any of those.
Right, exactly. All right, let's get to some news. Let's Siri set up and get to news right now.
The Roundup with Ashley Page.
Oh, man, I got to be serious?
Yeah.
All right, well, summer means rising temperatures. It means extreme heat. And some people...
Yeah, it's called summer.
And with heat stroke and people on certain medications, you can't be out in the heat. So the National Weather Service and the CDC are introducing a new color-coded heat warning system that will highlight potential health risks. They do it for, you know, smog, bad air quality, things like that. It's the same kind of thing, just saying, hey, listen, this week is going to be in the purple or whatever. And they said the new system is going to be categorized into five risk levels, ranging from pale green, which is a little to no risk, to magenta, which would be the most dangerous level. Just so you know.
But my question remains still, at what point did the numbers become moot? Of just going, hey, it's going to be in the 90s this week, and people go, okay, it's going to be warm.
I don't know.
Or triple digits.
Maybe.
That pretty much tells you, okay, maybe I should stay indoors.
Maybe if I see magenta, I'm going to stay
inside. How are the numbers now rendered...
I don't think the numbers are rendered useless. I just think it's just another level of, oh, I see that now. Today's going to be orange, or today's going to be...
But the... Okay.
It's just another level of helping people.
Okay. Yeah,
so in 1979, and I know you remember this because you loved it. It's one of your favorite movies ever, ever, ever.
Yeah.
You get a chance to see it in the movie theater again. It's called
Alien.
Alien. Yeah. And they said it actually changed that genre of film because it just made everything so terrifying. They said even though it came out in 1979, it has held the test of time. And it's coming back to theaters this Friday, by the way, to celebrate its anniversary. But it's not just going to be the movie. It's also going to begin with a conversation between Ridley Scott, who directed the original, and Fede Alvarez, who is directing the upcoming Alien Romulus, which comes out in August.
You couple his direction with that... Man, scary artwork design, production design of H.R. Giger. Boy.
And that was before CGI.
Oh, it sure was.
So, wow.
It's good stuff.
So, go back and see it this Friday.
Okay.
And that's your news roundup.
Ashley and Brad.
We get to play games on this show because we get to play games on this show.
Yeah.
That's the circular logic. This is Outburst. It is the explosive top 10 list game where we've got 30 seconds to come up with 10 items. In these categories, it usually sounds a lot easier than it sometimes can be.
Well, and it's really subjective, so...
I know.
Well, I happen to have found the viewfinder first, so I guess I shall go.
Okay.
I would like you to give me 10 things that you wash or clean frequently.
Your clothes, your face, your hair, your car, your pets, your... Am I on the right track? Your dishes, your... clothing, the air filters, the dishes, the clean, your windows, I hope I'm in the right direction. Your face, your feet, hands, body, hair.
You got hands in the last second.
Meaning that I got others as well, or what?
You got 7, my friend.
All right.
7.
There we go.
You got your hair, your car, your dog. You said pet, but that's a dog.
Yeah.
Dishes, your face, the laundry, and at the last second, your hands.
All right.
You did not get floors, fruit, and your eyeglasses.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten those eventually either. Floors, fruit, not as frequently as the others, apparently.
Good for you, though.
Okay,
7?
Wow.
That's like a record.
Fine. 30 seconds on the clock. Same thing. This, like you said, in theory, you should get all of these, but let's find out. 30 seconds. Give me 10 breakfast beverages.
Oh, orange juice, mimosas, Bloody Marys, pomegranate juice, coconut water, milk, chocolate milk, kombucha, orange juice, cranberry juice, grape juice, apple juice, coffee, tea, what else do people have for breakfast in the morning? Water, I don't know.
Yeah, well.
But I get 3?
8.
Ah!
8.
Yay!
But it wasn't until the latter half that you were starting to get into a group because you were starting off with all of those esoteric, whatever you said.
Mimosa? And a Bloody Mary?
Yeah, but
it's not esoteric.
No, the other ones you were saying.
That's required on a weekend.
Coffee, tea, milk. Got chocolate milk. Right. Water. Eventually threw in water at the end almost there.
I know.
Orange juice, cranberry juice, apple juice. You left out. Although, I don't know. We'll see how the judges feel about this. Tomato juice is the one option.
I did say Bloody Mary.
But that's not tomato juice. That's tomato juice with other stuff in it.
Well, so, the good stuff.
And grapefruit juice. You did
I thought I said grapefruit juice.
I don't think so.
Okay.
All right. Well done.
Ashley and Brad.
Let's take you way back. Once upon a time, listener, way back to the 1900s.
Yeah.
Way back into the
70s.
Let's say there.
All right.
Right a little past midway point of that century.
Uh-huh.
When you were watching television, guess what? You had to watch television that moment or that show went away forever.
Well, that was like that until the VCR came around.
Well, that's right. That's why I'm saying the 1970s, before the VCR came around. because it was appointment television. If you wanted to see a show, yep. you had to watch it when it was on.
There was no rewinding. There was no pausing live TV.
There was no. In fact, the rebroadcast or the reruns didn't come on till a little bit later. So really,
like in the summertime.
Yeah.
Right.
But they didn't show endless reruns of endless shows.
There were no marathons.
No. There was no MeTV or no Nick at Night or Classic. No.
Of Nick at Night.
Just the networks, and that was it. So now you fast forward a few years, and then you've got all of these options to rewatch television.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing. Do you?
Well,
do you watch all those shows you recorded?
I happened to have recorded something yesterday, and I was like, oh, good, I can't wait to. And I got home to watch it, and then I started to look in that little queue, that list, and I'm like, oh, man, I DVR'd like the Grammys and like a whole bunch of stuff that I ended up never watching.
Yeah.
And other people have got to be just like this, too. When you do DVR a show, do you turn around and, like, you know, watch it within that week? Or does it just sit there and you totally, like, don't watch it?
Well, the notion being you didn't have time to watch it the first time, so you're going to create time later on to watch it later?
But then sometimes I'll DVR, like, whole episodes because you can double-click in and say, oh, I'll do this whole series.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then I go in there and I'm like, oh, yeah, there's all those Property Brothers shows I never did watch. All that
kind
of stuff.
And then there's hundreds that can pop
up.
And
then you're like,
I'm going to watch all those.
Should I take this out of my series manager? Like, how do I do that? But I thought I only had, like, 70% available space.
I
haven't watched.
We don't even have the opportunity to. We don't even have one of those services anymore.
Oh.
We don't even have like any of your providers.
But when you have streamers, you can't.
Oh, sure, but they're on the list of movies like a Netflix. You know, we just have Netflix and I think one other, but we don't have any show providers. Like any of the networks or any of those things.
But on a Netflix, can you say, "Oh, I want to watch this," and kind of like bookmark it?
I think so. You can make a list, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't have the kind of time to sit around and binge watch a whole series of something.
Yeah, I mean, and I get that, and that's why a lot of people will do the whole
series. I mean,
you
and me are two different stations of life here.
Exactly. So. You've still got two kids that are relying on a lot of stuff. My kids are grown, got the time now. But when you do DVR stuff, are you guys watching it, you know, a few days or a week, or does it just sit there and take up space in the in the DVR system?
Let us know. 888-9-AB-RADIO.
Ashley and Brad.
Fun fact time with us, Ashley and Brad, bringing you tidbits of information here on this 4/24/24. Today is International Guide Dog Day.
So I remember being in a college class, and one of the other students was blind, and he had his guide dog that would come in, and his book was in Braille, and it was really kind of fascinating to watch the whole day because that was before the days of, you know, lots of people having a service dog for everything. He was a true guide dog.
Yeah.
And guide dogs provide opportunities not only for independence for the legally blind, but also social interactions. They let the owners know if it's safe or not safe.
Yeah.
The first reference to it was seen in a nursery rhyme from the year 1500. And it says A is for Archer, B was for blind man led by a dog.
Hmm.
Very interesting.
Okay.
And by 1929, the first U.S. guide dog training school opened when Dorothy Harrison Eustace and Frank Morris started the Seeing Eye in Tennessee. Today, more than 150 million people just in the U.S. alone have some kind of visual impairment.
Yeah.
But those dogs don't come cheap. To properly train them, it takes a couple of years, and it's about $25,000.
Wow.
So if you got some extra money, you know, burning a hole in your pocket, you might want to consider making a contribution to the Guide Dogs of America today.